first reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, selected verses, beginning at verse 21. Luke 2. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And then moving on to verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. And our second reading is also from the Gospel, this time the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. This is after the Magi had visited with Mary and Joseph and the baby. When they, the Magi, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." This too is the word of God. My wife Rita and I received a number of Christmas cards this year that had the phrase on the front, "Peace on Earth." Did you know that the phrase "Peace on Earth" was not invented by a greeting card company? No, it wasn't. Those words are recorded in Luke chapter 2. I didn't read that portion to you this morning, but where an angel appears to the shepherds in the field about a great event that was happening in the town of Bethlehem. The birth of a Savior. Let me refresh your memory. Luke writes, "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Allow me to ask you this question. How peaceful was your Christmas 2019? You can answer. Very peaceful. God bless you. For those who work in retail, I suspect it was not. We were in a store yesterday and they had magically gone from Christmas to Valentine's Day, I guess overnight. We were in a Sheet, stopped to get gas, and when I went in to pay, the peanut butter chocolate Christmas trees, they're gone. But the peanut butter chocolate Easter eggs are there well ahead of time. I suspect some people are glad that Christmas is over because of the experiences they had this Christmas. Let me ask you another question. Bob, since you're so positive, did you experience a silent night or a holy night? Well, it's against one of your Christmas carols, but that's all right. Okay. Was everything in your household this Christmas calm? Art? On Christmas Day. On Christmas Day. Okay. I heard the story of after Christmas. Perhaps you all can relate to these words from a song sung by Casting Crowns. The beginning will sound familiar, but then it changes after that. I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing peace on earth, like a choir they're singing peace on earth. In my heart I hear them, peace on earth, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then this, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Dear ones, honestly, has some of that been part of your experience this Christmas? And it's okay if it has, because you're in some very good company. Luke tells us of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, and Tony shared that story on Christmas Eve. Luke tells us about his naming at the rite of circumcision and his consecration to the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem. And Luke ends the birth story by saying this: when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to the town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That sounds downright peaceful, doesn't it? And the bells are ringing. Peace on earth, like a choir. They're singing peace on earth. And in my heart, I hear them, peace on earth, goodwill to men. But then the problem is, if you read the Gospel of Matthew, he includes some details that Luke does not mention. You've heard of the Magi, haven't you? Okay, Magi, wise men, kings. Tony addressed all that the other night. We'll just call them Magi for the day. They came to Jerusalem seeking the one who had been born king of the Jews. Their presence and the reason for their search caused a bit of consternation with King Herod. Matthew writes, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and I like this part, and all Jerusalem with him. Have you ever heard the line, when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Apparently it works for kings too. When the king ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So the Magi went and visited Mary and Joseph and the baby. Herod had counseled them to come back and return to him and tell him where they found the baby so he could go and worship too. But they had a dream. They had a vision. And they were warned not to return to Herod, but to go home by another way. And Joseph had a dream too. According to Matthew, Joseph was told in a dream to take his little family down to the country of Egypt until King Herod died. Do you understand the irony in that? The land that once enslaved God's chosen people was now the land that was going to protect their Savior from a maniacal king. Unknown to everyone else involved, except God, of course, King Herod had a plan B to take care of his problem. You need to understand that King Herod was not a nice man. Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, once quoted was quoted as saying, "It would be better to be King Herod's pig than to be his son." And in fact, King Herod had already killed two of his sons. He had them strangled. He had also killed one of his 10 wives, in fact, his favorite wife, because he thought she had been unfaithful to him. She hadn't. He killed his 18-year-old brother-in-law because the Jews liked him better than they liked Herod. Herod killed his favorite wife's grandfather and her 80-year-old uncle, and that uncle had once saved Herod's life. Herod killed his own uncle and his mother-in-law. He was not a nice man. And so he didn't hesitate for even a moment to order that all babies, all male babies in the town of Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, be put to death. And in despair, I bowed my head. "There is no peace on earth," I said. "For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Dear ones, there are many people on the face of this earth that did not experience peace on earth this Christmas season. If not you, then someone else, probably someone you know. Let me leave a couple of thoughts with you. Don't say amen yet. I'm not done. First of all, please know that King Herod had a plan B. But know this, God does not have a plan B. Nothing catches our God by surprise. I often used to say the one word that our God has never and will never utter is, "Oops." You just don't catch God by surprise. He has a plan, and it's a perfect plan. Jeremiah tells us what it is. "I have a plan for you," says God, "a plan to prosper and not harm you, a plan to give you a hope and a future." And regardless of what is going on in our individual lives, regardless of what is going on in our national life, regardless of what is going on in our world life, God has a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. There can never be a situation that will arise that brings surprise to God. So, dear ones, peace. True peace, everlasting peace, peace that passes all understanding, can only come through a Redeemer, a Savior, someone who could rescue us from our sin. And that was the reason for Christmas. Don't ever forget that. Even as you're buying your Valentine candy and your Easter eggs, don't forget God sent His Son to be our Redeemer. And God had made that plan before the foundation of the world, before He ever created human beings, knowing that we would someday need a Redeemer. Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. God doesn't need a plan B. The second thing I want you to remember this morning is that the safest place for you to be is where God leads you. The Magi followed a star and it led them to the Christ child. The Magi followed God's instructions given to them through an angel and they escaped Herod's wrath. Joseph followed the angel's instructions and took his new family to Egypt where they were safe. And then he followed the angel's instructions and went back to Galilee to the town of Nazareth. The safest place you can possibly be is in the center of God's will, no matter how unpeaceful or uncomfortable that place may seem. Whatever path in life you take, God knows where it leads. How much better to follow the path where He is leading? The safest place to be is where God leads you. The third thing is this: Christians aren't exempt from trouble. The Christmas story, particularly the Christmas story as told by Matthew, is filled with difficulty, filled with suffering. It was just in the news yesterday or the day before that 10 more Christian men were beheaded in Egypt by ISIS because of their faith. Christianity is not a walk in the garden. Sometimes it seems very calm and peaceful here, but it's not there. Did you know that God seldom leads us around our troubles? God seldom takes us on a detour so we miss our troubles. He leads us through our troubles. He provides the way through, and He gives us the strength we need. He comforts us in the midst of our troubles. He does not abandon us at any time. We need to trust God, and we need to trust that He'll be with us as we follow the path set before us. You could utter an amen now, but I'm just taking a break. Do you know why we sang the hymn Joy to the World again today? We sang it just the other night. Who knows why we sang it again today? Duh. First of all, it's in the bulletin. That was your first clue, right? It was in the bulletin, so we're going to sing it. But that's not the reason it was in the bulletin. There's another more profound reason than that one. Were you listening to the words as we sang it? I think it's the third verse. It says, He, Jesus, comes to make His blessings flow. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Then what? Far as the curse is found. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. Dear ones, it doesn't matter what curse we're experiencing right now. Christ is here with us. Christ is here for us. And the songwriter emphasizes that. He doesn't just say it once. He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Do you get the point? There's no place you can go, there's no experience you can have or are having that's putting you beyond the reach of God's love through Jesus Christ. He came to make His blessings flow wherever you are. Trust that. And the fourth thing is this. We need to remember from the Christmas story that God is in control. Everything we read in Luke, everything we read in Matthew was planned by God. And He is in that story every step of the way. And He is in our story every step of the way. God is in control. I'm going to conclude. You missed your chance for amen. The final stanza of the song that I started the sermon. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolves from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing, peace on earth. Like a choir, they're singing peace on earth. In my heart, I hear them, peace on earth, peace on earth, goodwill to men. No matter what. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God and Father, we confess that sometimes life is pretty difficult, pretty hard. And we see the news or read the headlines and realize that real people are really suffering, are being persecuted, are being killed because of the faith that we exercise so freely here in our country and in this place. Lord, awaken us from our slumber. Just as the town of Bethlehem needed to be shaken awake that first Christmas night, or they would have missed everything. Awaken us from our slumber in the United States of America. Help us to preach the word faithfully and boldly. And help us to live your word all around the world. In Christ's name, amen.